So throughout this year, we're talking about connecting to God and one another. That's our theme for 2018. And during this time, we're talking about connecting God and the world, the church in mission. And we're looking at the many, many ways that our church is involved in mission in the world, in our community, in our local community, nationally, and in the world. So we've already talked about kind of a grounding in John Wesley and his understanding of mission. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. Last week, we heard from our youth about Sierra Service Project and middle school mission, and today we're talking about another mission. We're being guided in this series by Matthew 25, verse 40, when Jesus tells the story and says, "Truly I tell you, just as you did these things, these acts of kindness, to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." Today we're going to hear a little passage from the prophet Zechariah, who wrote in 500 BCE, so 500 years before Jesus, when the temple was being rebuilt after the people had been in exile, and the leaders came to him and they said, "How can we prevent having to go into exile again?" And he said, "Well, here's what you need to do. And you need to listen carefully to the passage that David will read in just a second." And then we're going to hear some of Jesus' words from what's called the Sermon on the Plain, in a flat place, in Luke chapter 6, what Jesus has to say about how we are to be with one another.
The first scripture reading is Zechariah 7, 8 through 10. You can find it on the Pew Bible in 882. The word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, render unto me judgments, show kindness and mercy to one another. Do not oppress the widow, the orphan, the alien, or the poor, and do not devise evil in your hearts against one another." The word of God for the people of God. Amen.
Our second scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, verses 27, and chapter 6, verses 27 and 28. "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. A good measure, pressed down, shaken up, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back." These are the words of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Open our hearts, O God, to hear your story and your word, so that we might be changed more clearly, more nearly and dearly into your image. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you thought about Jesus' life story from the beginning? Now, we read a lot about the Christmas story, not this time of year, but we know the story from Luke 2, verses 1 through 7, and as I remind us of that in a minute, I'd like us to think about Jesus and his family according to Scripture. You remember the story about how Mary and Joseph had to leave where they were living and make their way down to Bethlehem while she was pregnant because the Roman authorities had told them that they had to go for a census. And while they were there, when they got to Bethlehem, and Mary is ready to have this baby, there is no room for them in the inn. And so you know the story. Jesus is born in a place that probably is less than ideal, but one that we have memories about from Scripture. Probably a stable with a manger. This reminded me of this little story about a boy who wanted to be Joseph in the Sunday school Christmas pageant, but he was cast as the landlord at the inn. And even though he objected loudly, nobody listened to him about this. And when the pageant was presented, Mary and Joseph knocked on the door and asked him if he had room for them. And the boy smiled and said, "Sure, lots of room. Come on in." What if the story had gone like that, huh? Of course, the story in Luke 2 is meant to illustrate Jesus' humble beginnings. But think about the desperate situation that the family found themselves in. Away from home, told to go there by the Roman government, about to have a baby, and then turned away. No room in the inn. Until somebody saw their desperate situation and found them this humble place. Humble place to stay, and that's where Jesus was born. Some sort of a stable where there was a manger. Now, you remember that story of the wise men. The wise men coming to Jerusalem. This is in Matthew. The wise men coming to Jerusalem and then to Bethlehem to meet and worship Jesus. They had come because they saw a new star. And they believed that signaled the birth of a king. And they wanted to find this new king of the Jews. So the wise men had first visited King Herod in Jerusalem to find out where this new king of the Jews was. Now, Herod was an evil and a cruel and a corrupt man, and the wise men finally wised up to that, and rather than go back and tell Herod about Jesus after they found him, the wise men go home another way. Now, Herod wanted info, he wanted intel from the wise men, didn't he, about this king of the Jews? And when he didn't get it, and he realized that he had been outsmarted, he made arrangements to have all the babies in the area under 2 years old in and around Jerusalem to have them slaughtered so that the king of the Jews would not grow up. Fortunately, an angel had come to Joseph in a dream and told him about what was happening. So Joseph took Mary and Jesus, packed them up in the dark of night, and fled to Egypt. They became refugees in Egypt because they were in a desperate and a life-threatening situation. They stayed there for a while. We don't know how long until Herod died and they came back and settled in Nazareth in Galilee. The next time we learn about Jesus, as we think about his family story, is we meet him at the end of Luke 2 when he's 12 years old and in the temple when the family has gone to Jerusalem for Passover. When the Passover is over and the family is heading back home, they discover after a couple of days that they don't have Jesus with them. And when they go back and find him, he is answering questions and debating and talking with the religious leaders in the temple. And then we don't meet Jesus again until he's about 30. Nothing about him in the Bible until then. But can you imagine that his family has told him the stories of his beginnings? His family has told him about this stable business and about the wise men and the stories of his beginnings. Born in a stable, no room in an inn, fleeing in desperation to Egypt to save his life. And Jesus is educated and formed in his Jewish tradition. Imagine, they told him the stories, right? We all know about our beginnings, don't we? So his family's telling him the stories. And then Jesus begins teaching when he is around 30. Remembering the words of the prophets, those Jewish teachers from years before, that Jesus would have learned about as a young man, undoubtedly this prophet Zechariah that we read from, Jesus would have known about the prophet Zechariah. Jesus then began to talk. But first he remembered what the prophet talked about, how God judges when God's plan for everyone to be treated justly and fairly, when that is not followed, the people had been exiled and scattered and the land laid waste behind them. That's what led to the Babylonian exile, according to Scripture. The people had not been faithful to what God wanted of them. And the prophet Zechariah reminds people of that in about 500 BCE. There are two things that Zechariah reminds them of that caused their people to be exiled: worshiping idols and failing to care for others. That's why They were carried off into exile according to Scripture. Jesus knew the words of the prophet Zechariah. Render true judgments. Treat one another justly. Love your neighbors. Be compassionate with one another. All of Jesus' history and upbringing and learning, all that God had given him and taught him, leads him to his days of teaching and healing. It is the lavish love of God that had brought him and his family through. No stinginess on God's part, but grace upon grace. Through words and angels and dreams and so much more, out of desperate situations, God came and then called others to do his work in the world. And one day, as Jesus is somewhere around the Sea of Galilee, he's already called his disciples to him, and there's many other people there, he comes down and he stands on a level place with the people, and he begins to teach them. This is Luke's version of the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew 6. And he teaches them many things, among which are, do not judge and you will not be judged. He says, take a good measure. A good measure, that's like dry weight of something. And when you press it down and shake it together and let it run over, this is an image about the lavish love of God. You press down, you get as much as you can in this measure. And then you share it with others. It's like an example of the love of God, the great and lavish love of God. It's never exhausted. Jesus is telling them to give much, like God gives much. And to be willing to offer our lives for others. Jesus is teaching that when we see one another as God's beloved ones and we don't judge each other, but instead show the generous love of God, that's when we receive back. Out of his own desperate beginnings, Jesus now offers these words of grace. I invite you to take a minute and think about times in your own lives when you have felt in a desperate situation. Now, it may not be that you had to be a refugee someplace else, but times when you have struggled with a health issue, when you've struggled with a relationship or a decision in your life, or maybe you have had great poverty at some point in your life, a desperate situation. And then think of God's lavish grace come to you through people who served without judging, being God's saving hands. All of us, if we think about it, have a story where God has brought us out of nothing into something. It might be small or it might be big, but God's rescue and grace in hard and desperate times becomes our undergirding for the mission we're talking about today. God found a way for Jesus' family, even though there was no room in the inn, and always finds a way for us as well. That is the gospel message. And it turns out that there is room in this inn here in Tucson. In November of 2016, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, contacted the United Methodist Church's conference office in Phoenix. It was at the initiation of ICE that the inn project came into being. ICE asked, could we help them with people who were in desperate situations? ICE was desperate, in fact. They had people who had come from dangerous and poverty-stricken places, mostly in Guatemala and other places in Central America. These people had sponsors in the U.S., but they had to be cleared to go to them, and they needed housing and help until they could be sent on their way to their sponsors. Could the United Methodist Church help, ICE asked. And the Inn Project was born. First, there were two sites in Tucson. Now there is one consolidated space. Almost daily, ICE brings families, usually with children, to a United Methodist Church downtown where volunteers assist them with food and clothing and showers and a place to stay and help them make the connection so they can be on their way to their sponsors, usually relatives, all over the United States. They have been legally cleared to go, and they need help in order to get where they're going. I'm going to invite you to hear the story firsthand from our own Kathy Barrett, who volunteers every Monday at the inn, and I know some of you all volunteer as well. Kathy made this video so you could hear a little bit about the story of the inn.
About 20 months ago, I read a small article in the Messenger that had been placed there by First United Methodist Church. They were asking for help with seekers of asylum. Well, I was curious, and I wondered if my Spanish might come in to help, so I called and I made an appointment, and then I had second thoughts. It was going to be a long drive if I committed. I would have to rearrange my schedule, and I might have to give something up. And still a voice said to me, "Oh, just go take a look." Well, I went down, and when I arrived, the first thing I saw was the space. It's just a humble church basement with mattresses around, clustered in family groupings. Then I took in the people. These were young and middle-aged adults traveling with their children, but always just one parent. The other parent had been kept in detention at the border. Right here, I want you to know that each of these people has arrived legally. In fact, ICE brought them to us in a van after vetting them. And we began our work contacting their sponsors, which are all over the United States, and instructing the sponsors how to purchase the Greyhound tickets and to call back and confirm the travel information and confirmation numbers. But for me, there, the favorite times are when I put aside my work. A mother is getting ready for a shower, and she has an infant she can't leave, or a toddler. And I volunteer to take that one if the toddler is willing and bounce him on my hip, and we have some time together while mother has a peaceful shower. And then there was the time I will never forget. There was angst and crying somewhere in the room. And I looked around, and I found a father on his knees by his mattress, tearfully thanking God for the safe deliverance of his family, thanking God that he had been brought to the inn, praying from God that his wife would soon be released to join them and they could be a complete family, and expressing fear that he had to travel 2 to 3 days in an English-speaking country now, and he didn't speak English. Yes, I know now that there was a persistent voice saying, "Go check it out." And that voice was, for me, the Holy Spirit, because it knew I needed to be there. I pray daily for these people. They are always near my thoughts and in my heart, and always with my concerns and my hopes. And although I'm still serving in much the same way, I am not the same woman who started. God has changed my heart and deepened my compassion. And when I am working there, I feel God's assurance that I am where I need to be. In all the times I volunteered, I now feel God's assurance. For me, it is the people and the connection we have. For they and we are God's children. Therefore, they are our brothers and sisters. They are family. And we're in a position to help our family. If ever there was a place I was sure I needed to be, it is here, it is now.
We all know that today immigration issues are complicated. We know that. We know that there are many, many views about immigration. The inn, though, serves people who are here legally, brought by ICE, out of desperate situations, places of extreme violence, of trauma and danger. You see, we know that because otherwise they wouldn't have been cleared to come. We are not advocating open borders, but reasonable policies like this one. This is a voice of reason, you see, to care for people coming out of desperate situations who already have sponsors here in the U.S. and need help getting there. They have made a treacherous journey, and they have trusted that God has led them through and brought them to a new beginning. This project has been supported by the United Methodist Church at large. In fact, the General Board of Global Ministries recently gave another grant to the inn so that some of the spaces could be renovated to be better used. This is a project that fits. This is a project that fits with what I laid out a couple of weeks ago as our grounding in mission. This is a project that helps people get on their own feet. It shows compassion while empowering them to care for their families. It is supported by our church's missions committee and by volunteers from our church. And it is the legacy of Jesus. You see, he and his family were in this situation, and they were brought through by angels and God and others unknown to us, and by the faith of Mary and Joseph. Jesus teaches us again and again about the abundant love of God bringing people through us and our brothers and sisters. And Jesus teaches us in our own desperate situations and in our call to care for others, we are drawn into Jesus' history, his legacy, his teaching, to love your neighbors and be compassionate with one another. Thanks be to God. Amen.